let's come to order, folks. It's town hall tonight.
An hour of smiles in town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New music, new laughs. It's town hall tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And now we present the man who stood in front of the ticket window for three nights to get good seats for the first New York World Series game and only found out at 6 o'clock this morning that he was standing outside the polo grounds. Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, what is that in person, Harry? Every time you introduce me, you always say in person, in person. Fred Allen in person.
Well, it's you, Fred, in person, not a motion picture. You're not a silly symphony.
No, no, I'm not a Donald Duck. I may look as though I'm molting, but I'm not a Donald Duck. I'm not a Mickey Finn, is it? Mickey Mouse. I'm not a Mickey Mouse.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You're here in person.
All right. Have it your way. This is Fred Allen in person, ladies and gentlemen, presenting our second program. Say, Harry, what were the reports on our first program? You know, as long as all of the other comedians have used the same gag, we really ought to make it unanimous, don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
Did you hear anything?
Well, I wasn't going to mention it, Fred, but as long as you brought it up, I did meet some of my friends on the street.
And?
Well, nothing. They just hung their heads and passed by.
Oh, yeah? Well, I read a rave notice in Walter Winchell's column.
Oh, boy, what did Walter say?
I've got it right here. Read that.
Fred Allen, resume.
Resume.
Say, there is a notice,
and
Fred.
And that isn't all. That isn't all, Harry. Right after the program was over last Wednesday night, I got a telegram. Listen to this. Fred Allen, Town Hall Program, Radio City. It's kind of wrinkled. I'll read between the wrinkles. Says, are we glad you are back on the air? We have been getting blamed for everything.
Well, who's it from, Fred?
It's signed Chicago Stockyards.
Oh.
Now, that's sentiment, Harry, and from strangers.
Fred Allen?
What? Yes, boy. What is it? Another telegram?
It's a Western Union histogram. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Sign here.
Say, who sent that histogram, boy?
Well, the initials are J.B.
J.B., not Jack Benny.
It ain't Joan Bennett.
Well, that's the welcome I've been waiting for, Harry. And now we can start the show. For our town hall overture tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours play No Wonder. Peter.
No wonder, you're wonderful, you. You've got two eyes that I couldn't resist. What chance did I have when your two lips said I want to be kissed? Oh, no wonder I'm talking out loud. No, no wonder my head's in a cloud. You're like the sunshine from heaven above. No wonder I'm in love. In a cloud, you're like the sunshine from heaven above.
You're wonderful, you're marvelous.
Ooh.
You're heaven sent, you are divine.
That's the reason I'm alive.
And now for the man who has been so busy with the fuss of business or the hubbub of trade during the past 7 days that he hasn't been able to keep abreast of world events, we present our weekly newsreel.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. The Board of Transportation's report for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 1938, shows city's independent subway system to be operating at a net loss. Cold figures prove that it is costing New York City 10 cents to carry each 5-cent passenger. Town Hall News interviews little-known statistician to get the figures on Subway's dilemma. Presenting then, Mr. Piedmont Cipher. Mr. Cipher.
Crammed with statistics and raring to go.
You have the figures, Mr. Cipher.
Got them right here. Ladies and gentlemen, the mean rainfall in Idaho for the fiscal year ending June...
No, I think there's some mistake, Mr. Cipher. You were going to discuss the subway.
Well, this is Tuesday night, ain't it?
No, this is Wednesday.
Oh, Tuesday night, I'm addressing the pogo stick makers of America.
Well, I know,
that's how I come to mention the mean rainfall in Idaho.
Yes, but after...
Rainfall in Idaho last year cut the gross sales of pogo sticks 97.6%.
Well, that may be
rain
true.
Rain ruins the pogo stick business. Streets muddy, they splosh, you
but
know.
But I know...
Why, a man on a pogo stick in the mud might just as well be riding a plunger. I got the figures.
Well,
I'm reading them Tuesday night.
But this is Wednesday, Mr. Cipher.
What become of Tuesday?
Well, I wouldn't know.
I must have mislaid Tuesday. Man studying statistics ain't got time to think of days.
Well, I can imagine.
Them pogo stick makers never will know why pogo sticks ain't selling in Idaho.
But what about the New York subway?
They selling pogo sticks, too?
No. You were going to give us the subway statistics, remember? I spoke to you in the automat. You were having trouble getting a slug into the coffee slot and I...
Oh, yes, I got them subway statistics right here in my derby. Now, let me see. Oh, here they be. Stetson Company,
You're reading the hat band, Mr.
Oh, yeah, this is them. Had them tucked in the sweatband. Wanted to keep them on my mind.
I see. These are the authentic figures.
For the fiscal year end in June.
Fine.
Now, let me see. Them down flies. Some false decimals in here.
We're expecting the correct figures, Mr. Cipher.
And here they be. New York's independent subway statement for 1938. Passengers carried... It don't seem possible.
Really?
Operating expenses... Well, knock me down. Interest and depreciation... Well, pick me up.
That is shocking.
Making a grand outgoing total of... Lord, get me an aspirin.
Well, what is it, Mr. Cipher?
This amazing document proves every nickel ride is costing the city a dime.
And what is the solution, Mr. Cipher?
I gotta get out of here.
A smart move, and thank you, Mr. Cipher.
Which way is Tuesday?
Go straight ahead to that calendar and turn back.
Thank you.
Through Mr. Cipher's amazing document, ladies and gentlemen, the Board of Transportation has given us one side of the story. All right, so the city does lose 5 cents on each nickel passenger. But what about the passenger, the little fellow who uses the subway, the turnstile bait, who makes the subway possible? So that subway officials may know how the other half is making out, the Town Hall News now shows what a subway ride costs the average passenger.
This is the true story of Dunbar Squirm. On the afternoon of October 5th, 1938 A.D., Dunbar Squirm was passing an auction sale at Times Square. Without warning, he was pushed inside. The auctioneer yelled...
Sold to the man who just stepped in.
The whole mate?
Yes, you, the little man in the cellophane raincoat.
Well, I didn't bid, mister. I was just pushed in.
Quit stalling, brother. You give me the high sign. I seen you wink.
Well, I didn't bid, honest. I might have winked. I got heavy eyelids.
Well, winking is bidding at an auction, bud. You want me to call a cop?
No. I'll take it. What did I buy?
This handsome China umbrella stand. You're taking it away for $40.
I'll take it... $40?
A man needs something for a rainy day, don't he?
Well, I got $40 for a rainy day.
You had $40, bud. Now you got a genuine Ming umbrella stand.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now, gents, I'm putting up a genuine fifth.
And so Dunbar Squirm found himself on 42nd Street, a victim of sharp practice and holding a China umbrella stand. His home was on 110th Street. His $40 gone, there was only one way to get home, the subway. Dunbar paid his nickel and arrived on the platform just as the Uptown Express pulled in.
Times Square, 42nd Street.
Hey, let me out. This is a free country. Let me out.
Hey, wait a minute. Quit pushing, will you?
Wait a minute. Get in there now, stupid. Shove up in there.
Hey, boat. Stop the train. My hat. It's gone.
Watch them doors. Let's go.
Hey, my hat.
As Dunbar Squirm sped away in the Uptown Express, his green alpine hat with the little chickadee feather lay trampled underfoot on the station platform, with one hand holding his dappled toupee in place and the other hand gripping the umbrella stand, Dunbar stayed wedged in place as the train rumbled into 72nd Street. The doors flew open.
72nd Street, 72nd!
Hey, leave me out! This is a free country! Leave me out! Hey, quit shoving. That's my umbrella stand.
Let me through, shrimp.
Hey, you're pulling my raincoat, lady.
That's your tough luck. I'm getting out.
Hey, watch it, lady. Don't look at my coat!
Watch them doors! Let's go!
My cellophane raincoat!
And so Dunbar Squirm left 72nd Street with his raincoat in tatters and minus his hat. Slow to anger, Dunbar chuckled to himself. "Let a smile be your umbrella," he said, as he chortled down into his umbrella stand. Dunbar's chortles were fast assuming the proportions of apprentice guffaws when the subway train came to 96th Street. Again, the doors flew open.
96th Street, 96th.
Hey, leave me out. This is a free country. Leave me out. Well, are you going in or out?
Well, I'm trying to stay in, lady.
Oh, a squatter, eh? Well, I'm going out.
Gangway, Elmer.
Hey, watch your bayonet, soldier.
You watch it. It ain't sticking me. Give over.
Hey, your bayonet is caught in my pants.
It ain't now.
Oh, hey, you cut off the back of my pants.
Watch them doors. Let's go.
Hey, my pants.
And the train whizzed out of 96th Street. The nub of Dunbar's trousers hung at half-mast on the soldier's banner as our hero sped uptown no end. One more stop, thought Dunbar Squirm, and I'll be home. Ah, and one more stop it was. Scarcely were the words out of his mental mouth when the train lurched into 110th Street. Dunbar held his umbrella stand tightly and prepared to leave. As the door zipped open...
110th Street! 110th Street!
Hey, leave me in! This is a free country! Leave me in!
Coming out! One coming out!
Out you go, Bob!
Oh, my umbrella stand!
Watch them doors! Let's go!
My umbrella stand!
Dunbar Squirm, his hat gone, his cellophane raincoat in ribbons, his trousers open-faced in reverse... and his umbrella stand in 1,000 pieces, slowly picked himself up from the platform at 110th Street and realized that what there was left of him was home. Thus ends the tale of one subway passenger, ladies and gentlemen, for this is the true story of Dunbar Squirm. And now, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Dunbar Squirm is right here in this very studio tonight, eager and willing to confirm these facts. Now, how much did this subway ride really cost you, Mr. Squirm?
Well, I lost my hat at 42nd Street. That was $3.
Yes?
My raincoat was purged at 72nd. That's $10 more.
$13, and at 96th Street?
The back of my pants was pilfered. That's $8.
At $21, and at 110th Street?
They threw me off on my umbrella stand.
$40 for the stand, yeah. And 21, that is $61 you paid for that ride.
Yeah, plus the jitney I paid to get in the subway. $61 and a jit.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, $61 and a jit is what Dunbar Squirm paid to ride in the subway from 42nd Street to 110th. So shame on you subway barons, who say it costs you 10 cents to carry a nickel passenger. What about millions of Dunbar Squirms? The moral, ladies and gentlemen, is the minute he enters the subway, the taxpayer is in the hole. And now for the die-hard radio listener who longs for the good old days of the community sing, the Merry Max give you their own version of that old reliable sing classic, Let's All Sing Like the Birdies Ditto.
Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Like nightingales, give
the birdies in the trees are singing pretty little melodies. They fall right down upon their tiny knees, and they sing and they swing and they... I love the poor neglected sparrow too. He has his troubles just like me and you. But you can see that he is never blue, for he sings and he swings and he...
Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet, 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 da-da-da-da-da. Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's all warble like the nightingales and give your throat a treat. Take your time from the birds. Now you all know the words. Let's all sing like the birdies.
Thank you, and now let us remind the parents of America that the football season has set in. Ella will need a new fur coat with her chrysanthemum on it to watch the game. And if Willie can't have the car Saturday, he'll probably run off and join the Foreign Legion. And since peanuts, popcorn, and hot dogs are sold at the game, not given away, a little extra pocket money might not be amiss. I think that covers everything.
Well, not quite everything, Fred. Because I never saw normal, healthy youngsters with money in their pockets and peanuts and hot dogs within reaching distance who didn't overdo things. And if the result is an upset stomach, ladies and gentlemen, may we suggest that thousands of wise parents have found that a glass of sparkling Sal Hepatica sets things right again quickly. For as so many physicians who recommend Sal Hepatica will tell you,
Sal Hepatica is more than a laxative. In addition to quickly yet gently removing accumulated wastes, Sal Hepatica also counteracts gastric acidity, which naturally chases that sickish feeling fast.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica at any drugstore tomorrow. You and your family are bound to appreciate having it any time any one of you needs a laxative. See how soon your head is clearer, your pep is back, and you are your buoyant, confident self again when you rely on the famous double help of Sal Hepatica.
Peter Van Steeden and his On Key for a Change, I Panna Troubadours, have just played Lambeth Walk from the dance of the same name. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Well, we are not expecting to meet whom, Fred?
Well, tonight, Harry, we are meeting a juvenile scientist, the youngest member of the Franklin Institute of Philadelphia. This little boy, still in grammar school, has acquired an amazing fund of knowledge on prehistoric data and has made a hobby of lecturing in Philadelphia schools.
Well, I'm astounded, Fred.
You will be flabbergasted, Harry. For tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet America's youngest lecturing scientist, Master Jess Haynes. Good evening, Master Haynes.
Oh, Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Well, I hope you don't resent my familiarity calling you Master Haynes. Would you rather be called Doctor or perhaps Professor Haynes?
Well, I was hoping you'd call me Jess, Mr. Allen.
Well, fine. You can call me Fred, Jess. Unless you feel, though, you might feel that this undue familiarity could tear you down socially.
I'll risk it, Fred.
Well, sporting of you, Jess, old kipper, I must say. And now that the ice is broken, let's muddle on. You are America's youngest lecturer on science, Jess, is that right?
Yes, as far as I know.
And what is your favorite lecture subject?
Paleontology.
Say, if you stood that word up on end, it would be 2 inches taller than you are. How old are you, Jess?
I was 12 last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday, 12. I suppose you celebrated by not listening to my first program.
No, I heard it, Fred.
Really? And how did you like the program?
Well, you know...
Oh, how true, how true. But tell me, Jess, when did you first become interested in
paleontology.
Right. What is that?
Well, paleontology is a science that deals with the life of past geological periods.
It does, hey? And when did you first become interested in it?
Well, about 4 years ago, I came across some books on prehistoric animals and the Paleozoic era.
So at the age of eight, you were browsing over tomes on paleontology.
Yes, Fred.
You know, that's amazing. I used to know a little boy who memorized the Encyclopedia Britannica before he was 13. He finally had so much knowledge stored away in his head, his ears started to look like bookends, Jess. Well, when he was 14, he couldn't go to sleep unless he put his head on a 5-foot shelf. And tell me, how did you get started lecturing?
Well, a year or so ago, I gave a talk before the hobby club at school.
And it was successful?
Quite, Fred. I was invited to repeat at some of the other schools in Philadelphia. Last year, I gave over 30 lectures.
30 lectures? Always the same lecture?
No, it depends on how much time I have.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes I can only cover the Paleozoic and Mesozoic eras.
The Paleo and the... Now, wait a minute, Jess. Could you break up some of those terms and sort of bounce them at me in syllables? You'll have me word happy here in a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. I thought you're familiar with the Paleozoic and Mesozoic eras.
Well, try to remember, Jess, old boy. You are doing a little IQ slumming at the moment. Not only is my IQ negligible, but my Susie Q is seldom mentioned in the better places.
All right, then, Fred. I'll elaborate.
You'll elaborate. Well, I certainly will appreciate it, Jess.
Well, the Paleozoic is the first era, during which life appeared on land.
Confidentially, was there much doing in the Paleozoic era?
Yes, the Earth was covered with prehistoric monsters. Most of the early Paleozoic animals were invertebrates.
Drank a lot, eh?
No. No, invertebrates are creatures without spines, Fred.
Well, it's a small world after all, Jess. Here I've had a Paleozoic band leader for years and didn't even know it.
Mr. Van Steeden isn't spineless, is he, Fred? He stands pretty straight.
No, it's that dress suit coat that's doing it, Jess. You know, if you're kind to a coat like that, it'll wag its tails later on. But that's really what... a minstrel show in town, I guess. But it's really that full-dress coat. You see, we've got his backbone strapped to a dickie. That's what's holding him up. When Peter takes off that dickie, his spine bends over like a mail-order buggy whip. But we digress, Jess. Now, were dinosaurs stamping about in the Paleozoic age?
No, dinosaurs didn't appear until the Jurassic period. That was in the Mesozoic era.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. I always thought a dinosaur was something you got from eating on trains.
No.
Always wait for laughs, Jess. Yeah. Later on when they start to laugh.
If they come.
Well, I I guess on your lecture platform you have your troubles too, I suppose. You don't have to bother with laughs, do you? But what were dinosaurs?
Well, dinosaurs were gigantic reptiles, Fred.
Well, big were. Bigger than King Kong?
Much bigger. Some of them were 90 feet in length and weighed 80,000 pounds.
Well, King Kong wasn't big enough to be a win on a dinosaur, was he?
Hardly. Dinosaurs ate, weighed eggs bigger than King Kong.
They will say it wouldn't take many of those eggs to make a dozen, would it?
Oh, you comedians. Oh.
Well, thank you, Jess. I didn't think you'd recognize me at your age. But say, before I forget it, what does the name dinosaur mean?
Well, it's from the Latin, Fred. Saurus means lizard, and dino means terrible. Dinosaurus, terrible lizard.
We live and learn, don't we? I've pulled many a dino gagus in my day, you know.
I have heard rumors, Fred.
You... I just wanted to make sure about it. I thought maybe Jess wrote his own line in there. I wanted to check out. How young you are to Jess, Jess, my lad. But tell me, when did man first arrive on the scene?
Well, man arrived with a hyracotherium, Fred.
Now, Jess, I ask you about those words.
I'm sorry, Fred. I'll be more careful.
Fine. Well, I suppose the first man was sent to look the world over for Randon McNally.
No, the oldest human bones were found on the island of Java. Then came the Peking man.
Was he more civilized than his Java buddy?
Oh, yes. The Peking man could hunt and build fires. Then came the Neanderthal and the Cro-Magnon man, which brings us right up to civilization.
This is where I came in. Well, this has been a most refreshing interview, Jess. I guess when you leave here tonight, you'll probably pick up Einstein and have a jam session and metaphysics to relax.
No, Fred, I'll go right home.
Well, thanks a lot for this digest discourse on paleontology. You've clarified a lot of things that have puzzled me for years. Now, if there's ever anything I can do for you...
There is, Fred. You can clear up something that's puzzling me right now.
Really? What is it?
How much is 4 times 23?
4 times 23 is 92, Jess.
Gee, thanks. That's my homework for tomorrow.
What's that? Well, you'd better get right home, Professor, and write that down before you forget it.
I will, Fred. Good night.
And good night to you, Master Jess Haynes, and thank you. Now the Town Hall Singers, ladies and gentlemen. The Town Hall Singers are not paleontologists, but under the direction of Lynn Murray, they've prepared for us tonight Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and The Old Ox a Moving.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
The old axe moving, moving, moving. The old axe moving, our spirit guide.
The old axe moving, moving, moving. The old axe moving, our spirit guide.
How many days did the water fall?
40 days and nights alone.
Old axe reel, old axe rock.
Old axe land on a mountain.
Oh, the old axe moving, moving, moving.
The old axe moving, our spirit guide.
Oh, the old axe moving, moving, moving.
The old axe moving, our spirit guide.
Ham, sham, jeff, what's that one day?
Talking on the upper deck and looking down the bay.
And reading and writing about this and that.
The ark done bump on Ararat.
Oh,
see that sister dress so fine.
She ain't got religion on her mind.
See that brother dress so gay.
Devil's bonnet of men carried him away.
Oh, dear. Your life's moving, moving, moving. Your life's moving by spirit. God, oh, dear.
Moomba Spirit. Oh, that's moving, moving, moving. Oh, that's Moomba Spirit. Oh, that's Moomba Spirit.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I may, I'd like to ask a question.
That's enough. That's enough. This time it's gone too far.
Why, who are you, my good man?
A victim, that's what I am. Every time I come to see a radio show, somebody starts popping questions at me. What's my name? Does my wife like halibut? How many feet has a Floy Floy? Well, tonight it's my turn to ask questions. That gentleman over there, what's your name?
Harry Von Zell.
What do you do on this program?
Well, I pass along the advice of the many dentists who recommend Ipana toothpaste and gum massage as a sensible, modern way to a smile you can be proud of.
What has massaging your gums got to do with your smile?
Well, our teeth are seldom bright and sparkling when our gums are tender and soft, and the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat do not give our gums the toning and exercise they need for health. So we must help supply that stimulation some other way. Ipana with massage does it.
Well, that answers my questions.
And it will probably answer you, ladies and gentlemen, if you question the brightness of your smile. Just get an economical tube of Ipana at any drugstore tomorrow. Then, every time you brush your teeth, just put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on your toothbrush and massage it on your gums. For with firmer gums and brighter teeth, your smile can't help but be more attractive. And you can't help but appreciate Ipana toothpaste. Gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately after a brief pause for your station identification.
Peter and the boys. The boys. That cello player is 90 years old if he's a day. But they have just played a synopsis of I'm Putting All My Eggs in One Basket. Now, on Friday night...
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, Portland. Well, if this isn't a surprise, it isn't anything, and it isn't a surprise.
Oh, I just stopped in to help you celebrate.
Celebrate? Celebrate what?
Why, this is Columbus Day.
Well, what did Columbus ever do for me?
He discovered America, didn't he?
Columbus? I thought the Warner Brothers discovered America and gave it 2 stars years ago.
Didn't you ever read history? Columbus crossed the ocean. He didn't even know where he was going.
He was Corrigan in a boat, huh?
History says Columbus pawned Queen Isabella's jewels.
What was the pawnbroker's name?
Oh, history doesn't say.
Well, he's the guy who deserves the credit. Why isn't the Huck shop owner's birthday a holiday?
Oh, there isn't enough interest in the pawnbroking profession.
Not enough interest, eh? Did you ever emerge from under the 3 undulating brass honeydews? Bearing a little ticket that used to be a fur coat.
Oh, you're like a man in the mint who coins nickels.
Why?
You don't make sense.
Oh. Well, that's very good, Porty.
It was, wasn't it, Harry?
Yes, nothing sir, like I'll say it was. You keep pulling gags that good, and it won't be long.
You bet it won't be long. The program will start going down in the public's estimation so fast, we'll all be coming to the microphones wearing parachutes.
Hi, comrades.
Say, who left the door open in the morgue?
Oh, hello, Peter.
Thanks, Porty. It's good to know I've got one friend on the program.
Oh, now, wait, I'm your friend, Pete, and I'm sure...
No, you can leave me out of the conversation.
Well, I guess that proves his reincarnation.
Why, Peter?
I just heard a ham talk. That's good enough for me.
Why, what would you charge to stop by my house at midnight tonight to save me the trouble of eating a Welsh rabbit?
Oh, Oh, yeah? I'm as good-looking as you are, you ape.
Don't let it down at the finish. Apish, we comes up. See, we all came up from apes. If you can't, at least return the favor. Good-looking? Why, you look like a totem pole with skin on it. Look at that pompadour. It looks as though a falcon just took off from your scalp.
Oh, stop it, fellas.
Okay, this is probably a barber looking for Mr. Van Steeden. That hair looks like the elbow on a $2 raccoon coat.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
Is it true you're staying on the air 52 weeks this year?
No, I'll just be on 39. Say, what dropped?
That's the weight off my mind.
Silly business, this, isn't it?
I'll say, I came here to celebrate Columbus Day.
Yeah, that's right, Porty. It is Columbus Day. I was hoping somebody'd mention it. It had me worried.
Oh, is that why you've got those circles under your eyes, Harry?
Yes, they're Columbus circles. Oh, boy, I can't tell myself from a guest star. No.
You're right. You'll be on another program next week. Yes?
Hello. Quick, somebody. What is the capital of Maryland?
Annapolis.
Thank you.
Say, what was that?
I don't know, Fred. I never saw the fellow before.
People running in here. All you have to do to get on this program appears to be is open a door.
Well, if we're going to celebrate Columbus Day, let's go, folks.
Oh, yes. Mary Livingston sent me a poem, and it's called Columbus Day.
Oh, Columbus. Fine. How does it go?
In 1492...
Hello. Quick, somebody. What is the capital of Idaho?
The capital of Idaho.
Boise City.
Thank you.
Say, who is that pest? He's making a draft in here.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Hello, please, what is the Sudan?
The Sudan is a closed car.
No. That's a Sudan. What is the Sudan?
The Sudan is south of the Sahara Desert.
Oh, thank you.
If that Schlemiel pops in here once more...
In 1492, Columbus...
I'd like to know who that guy is. He's running in and out of here like a sponsor at a rehearsal. Go ahead, Portland.
Where was I?
In 1492, Columbus sailed to so-and-so.
Oh, yes. Green, Columbus's days were spent in slumbers.
Hello. Oh, this is terrible. Quick, finish the sentence. One man's meat is another man's what?
Hamburger.
No, that isn't right.
One man's meat is another man's...
Poison.
Eureka.
That's the last straw. One more interruption and I'll knock that guy as flat as my voice.
Gosh, my poem is ruined.
Oh, no, now don't weaken, Porty. Start in again.
In 1492, Columbus sailed...
Hello. This is exasperating.
I'll say it's exasperating.
What organization is named...
Now, wait a minute. Winded, we could put stems on you, we'd have a bagpipe here. There's a radio program going on the premises here at the moment. Now, what is the big idea of fouling my immediate vicinity with your decomposed presence and asking me those decrepit questions?
Well, I'm awfully sorry. I can explain.
Never mind the explanation.
But you don't understand. I'm Professor Fizz.
Professor Fizz!
Not too loud. I've got the committee in the next studio picking questions out of my hat.
Well, aren't they giving you the right answers?
Well, I don't know. That's why I've been running in here.
You've been...
Robbed. Yes. Somebody's stolen my answers. I'm on my last question. If you don't give me the right answer, I'll be ruined.
What is the question?
Well, now, listen to this. What organization is named after a man who arrived in America 446 years ago today?
Portland.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Columbus's days were spent in slumbers, so we only hear about the Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus, that is correct. Absolutely correct.
And now, while the Merrimacks let us rest our sides, which at this point must indeed be weary from laughter... Why, they will sing for us La Paloma.
My own duty calls me and I must be away. At dawn
newborn day. Always in my heart, dear, I will take you along. The days won't be long if you're listening for my song. Never lose hope, for I shall be returning to you. Though I may grope in darkness the whole world through, a message of love, a little soft white dove will talk in. The message of love which I have left unspoken. Never grieve when I'm gone, for my love lingers on. Oh, my heart is singing a song of love for you. Every note tells of the sweetest bliss and the joy of your kiss. Oh, this is my love melody. A message of love, a soft white dove will talk in. The message of love which I have left unspoken. I hope you never grieve when I'm gone. You know my love will linger on, because my heart is singing la 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 Paloma.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we give you a success story in four chapters. A modern success story we're sure you'll be interested in, since you're all a part of it.
Chapter 1.
Several years ago in the Middle West, a new preparation was developed. Its name was Minute Rub. And it was made especially to help bring quick, soothing relief to all sorts of muscular discomforts. Its immediate success led to...
Chapter 2.
Its introduction to the East, a little more than a year ago, where its worth was so quickly proved that already it has become a household word in thousands of homes.
Chapter 3.
Last week, Minute Rub joined Ipana and Sal Hepatica in bringing these programs to you. And now...
Chapter 4.
...is being written by you, ladies and gentlemen. For now, Minute Rub is available in drugstores from coast to coast. And we sincerely believe that once you discover what grand, soothing comfort Minute Rub helps bring to muscular aches and pains of all kinds, your medicine cabinet will never be without it. Your whole family is sure to appreciate Minute Rub's two quick, effective actions. Its analgesic action, which helps relieve muscle pain, and its counter-irritant action, which stimulates circulation. For those two actions, working together, help bring you speedy, welcome relief. You're sure to appreciate the fact, too, that it is greaseless and stainless, and can't harm your clothing or linen. Now, don't wait till you get a sprain, strain, or sore muscle before you get Minute Rub. Ask any druggist for an economical tube tomorrow. MINITRUB. Minute Rub.
From the bluebird's throat, and when you sing, put your heart in a song,
put your heart in a song of love,
pin your hopes to a tune, wear a smile in your coat lapel, and tie a string round the rim of the moon, round the rim of the moon, with a light-hearted song and a heart full of fun. Watch the days go along as smooth as honey. If your world falls apart, if the crowd's out of step with you and life goes wrong, put your heart in a song.
Singers, they've just wrapped up
For you, put your heart in a song. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we roll away the eight ball to find that bedraggled little group, the Mighty Allen Arclairs. Tonight, they present a lukewarm murder mystery. It's called Who Killed Judge Knapp? Or One Long Pan Gets His Mandamus. Over to you, Peter.
His Honor, Judge Knapp, rise, everybody. Order in the courts.
Clerk, can I be excused now?
No, McPherson, you're foreman of the jury. Get back in the box.
Aye, but it's no fair.
Quiet. Are you ready, Judge?
Open court, clerk.
Oh, yes. This is the 13th day of the trial. The case, People versus Limburg Louis.
Repeat the charge, clerk.
Louis is charged with running New York's pot cheese racket.
One moment, Your Honor. Yes, Mr. District Attorney. Having proved the pot cheese charges, I would like to question Limburg Louis about the Roquefort cheese game.
Just a moment. As defense attorney, Your Honor, I demand a mistrial.
Order in the court.
This is a pot cheese trial, Your Honor. The district attorney mentioned Roquefort. I demand a mistrial.
Denied.
As defense counsel, I object.
As district attorney, I object to your objection.
I object to your objection to my objection.
Order, please. Order. The court sustains the objection to the objection, but overrules the objection to the objection to the objection.
I object.
Sustain.
Good.
Mr. District Attorney, the court directs you to withdraw the question concerning the Roquefort cheese game.
Very well, Your Honor.
And now that the testimony has been completed, I will charge the jury. Gentlemen of the jury...
Oh, holy habeas! His Honor is shot.
Judge Knapp, it's the DA. Speak to me.
The jury will disregard my death as irrelevant, incompetent, and immaterial.
Oh, he's dead.
It's murder. Phone the police, somebody.
Yes, phone the police. Help, murder,
no. Calling all cars. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Judge Knapp murdered at pot cheese trial. Let's go, Long Pan. This cheese case is right up your alley, you rat. Calling One Long Pan. Come out of that highlight game and report to the courtroom. Calling One Long Pan.
Greeting and bonsoir, kiddy. Detective One Long Pan, hot on trail. Soft mystery, three shakes, chotak multi.
Say, what is this? Who are you?
A basket, a casket, long pan, find a basket. Son detective, basket washed all summer, long pan, find basket, second course.
Oh, quiet, you oriental flatfoot.
You bet, fatfoot. I'm a fatfoot of Fuji with them. Oh, boy.
Oh, good heavens, a mental case.
You bet. A dental case. Tooth will out. Who are you, Mr. Shapappy?
I am District Attorney Rant of Manhattan. Who are you?
I am Detective One Wong Pan of Pearl Street. China Lone Ranger. Solve murder day or night. Instant service. Open Yom Kippur.
I never heard of it.
Must have my walking stick. I got the gout. When I'm in pain, must have my cane. I can't go out.
Now stop it. Stop it. See here, if you're a detective, stop detecting.
You're bad at some defecting. This man on floor wear a long black nightshirt. Suspicious party.
Oh, that's the body, you fool.
Body look pale. Maybe anemic.
Anemic? He's dead.
Body dead. Very good. Who is body?
He was Judge Knapp.
Knapp, as in go bye-bye?
Yes, Knapp, as in go to sleep.
Judge and Knapp on last nap now. Long pan philosophize. Oh, long pan must hold in, must hold in. What happened?
Well, the judge was closing the trial of Limburg Louis, the pot cheese racketeer. A shot rang out.
Limburg Louis, sounds suspicious. Long time grill, Mr. Bimberg Louis.
Well, I'm holding everybody in the jury room. Louis in there.
You open door, Mr. D.A. Long pan clear, give everybody bird the glee.
Yeah.
Quiet. Swipe down. Detective 101 Pan on show.
See here, man, I've got to go.
Who are you, lady?
I'm no lady.
You're my wife. Old stuff. Hokey pokey.
I'm no lady, I tell you.
You're no lady. You wear a short skirt. Not fool one long pan, missy. Or your kid, or your kiddo.
These are kilts, you foreigner! I'm a man!
Yes, yes, this is Angus McPherson, Long Pan, foreman of the jury.
Aye, and I'm going home the new. 2 weeks I've been away from my business.
You keep a kilt on, Mr. Fuss Budget.
I've asked 20 times to go home.
Yes, yes, you've pestered Judge Knapp ever since the trial began.
Aye, staying on the jury will ruin my business.
What business, Mr. Too Many Arms, Mr. Long Pants?
I scraped chewing gum from under theater seats and reconditioned it. I've been away 2 weeks. The gum will have no flavor. I've got to go.
Now, not so fast, McPherson. You are staying in that jury room until Long Pan solves this case.
You bet. Now, where's Spinberg Foy?
Louis, come over here.
Okay, D.A. Now, I didn't have nothing to do with
it. Don't say a word, Louis. My client refuses to talk.
Sure to talk. Who are you, Mr. Fat Boy?
I am Louis's attorney. Louis wouldn't shoot the judge. I had him practically acquitted.
Aesop say many slip between girdle and hip. Good, old snappy comeback. Catch on, you catch on.
And Blackstone say pro pono publicum and nisi caveat.
You bet, the glissy caviar. Maybe lunch, but not law.
Oh, see here. I'd put on a writ of error, a writ of rice, a writ of Hades.
You put on. You take off what you put on. You put on three lits, make lits, brothers. Very funny, low down slapstick, but very, very comical. Long pen left your bust. Luxury 40 cents left your bust. They place on snow.
Hey, you want to know what I think? I think the Shanghai G-Man is screwy.
I think you're screwy, Mr. Cambert Toy.
I'm Limboid Louie.
Maybe numb the fume for big cheese. Long Pan arrest you for murder. You shoot Judge Knapp.
Oh, yeah? How could I pull a gun? I had handcuffs on.
Yes, Louie's right, Long Pan.
Aesop say, man leaving Sir Dayton, rather be right than resident.
Oh, stop blabbing, Long Pan. We're not getting any place. What's that?
Right, fight down, fight down. Who's clean?
I did.
Who are you, Tutti Frutti, hot patootie?
I'm Esmeralda Fink, juror number 6.
Citronella Mink, you're some hushy-toshy, Mr. Fink.
Who are you, you Hong Kong hillbilly?
This is Detective One Long Pan, Miss Fink.
Detective? He looks like the laundry man who put starch in my bolero skirt last week.
No, really, Miss Fink.
Every time I sat down, I got taffeta splinters.
Oh.
Long Pan interest only sheet of crime, Mr. Fink. Why you scream?
I know who killed Judge Knapp.
Mystery solved. You fess up, baby doll. Who shoot Mr. Judge Knapp?
The district attorney.
Why, that's a lie. Why should I shoot the judge?
Judge Knapp make mistrial. You get even.
Yes, it's as plain as the nose on anything by Gutzon Borglum. I saw you, Mr. D.A.
You saw me what?
Just before the shop rang out, I saw you put your hand in your coat pocket.
Oh.
A lawyer with hand in own pocket. Mighty suspicious.
No. I was merely reaching for my false teeth. I was very excited. I wanted to bite my fingernails.
Perfect lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the tree rim. Are you a her or are you a him? Rock-a-bye.
I'll wait no longer. I've got to go. My goom business.
I told you, McPherson. You cannot go until the detective solves this mystery.
I want to go.
You better solve mystery. What is mystery?
Judge Knapp was murdered, remember?
Oh, exactly. Long Pan quit recital, start reducing. Where Judge Knapp was shot?
In the lower court, right here.
After shot fire, what happened?
I had everybody in the courtroom frisked.
You find weapon?
No.
Maybe Judge die acute offender hepatitis. Natural cause.
No, we all heard a shot.
Yes, and still, there's no weapon.
For the last time, I got to go.
No.
My groom business.
Fight down. Long Pan Leona Klein. What happened?
Well, first the clerk opened court.
Before the judge spoke, the foreman of the jury went to the bench.
Mr. Foreman, talk too much, McPherson?
Yes.
I asked to be excused.
Yes, and the judge turned him down.
Very good. Now, Mr. D.A., you be judge. You sit on judge bench. You show Long Pan what follow. Exactly.
Okay. Now, Judge Knapp sat up on the bench like this. He said, I will charge the jury. Then he rapped his gavel like this. Oh, I'm shot!
I object.
Well, I'll be now cross the district attorney.
He's dead.
Exactly. Long time confirmed suspicion. Oh, won't be long now.
But look here, there's no gun. Who shot him?
Very simple.
You can't fire bullets without a gun, Long Pan.
Exactly. You look on the blotter on Church's bench.
All right.
All right.
What you find?
Two empty cottages.
Mystery solved. Murderer hide cottage on the blotter. Judge lap butter with gaffer. Hit bullet. Get 44 in blood basket.
Yes, but who slipped the bullet under the blotter?
Who was last at bench before Judge Knapp opened court?
Angus McPherson. Aye, and I'm going. My goon business is losing money.
Not so fast. Long Pan arrest you, Mr. McPherson, for murder Judge Knapp.
You're daft, man. I was foreman of the jury.
Exactly. Judge not to let you go back gum business. You tried get even.
Yes, but that's no motive for murder, Long Pan.
Motive? Judge Knapp's last words. What were last words?
Let's see. The judge said, I will now proceed to charge the jury.
Exactly. Charge jury.
The fatal word. I did it.
You spill beans. You fess up, you bad boy.
I will. I didn't mind leaving my business for the jury. At $3 a day, I was breaking even. But today, when the judge said he was going to charge the jury, I went raving mad. That word, charge! Yes, but it wouldn't have cost you anything.
Charge is a legal expression.
It's a fatal word to a McPherson. I'm ready to die for my principles.
You die. You bet. You die. You die for principles. You pay penalty. You catch electric chair.
Yes, he'll get the current full force, won't he, Long Pan?
Aesop say... Where Scotsmen go to electric chair, only use 50% current. Scotsmen have killed already. You catch on? Aesop, some gag man. Pull switch. Gentlemen. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before this hour becomes what we sincerely hope will be a happy memory, may we leave you with this one thought. Town Hall tonight was brought to you in appreciation of your friendliness and your loyalty to...
Ipana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana... And Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you titters. Gasps. People you didn't expect to meet.
A man who tests parachutes by jumping in them. He'll drop in on you next Wednesday.
And music.
Program, where Lambeth Waltz and Me and My Girl put your heart in the songs from Breaking the Ice and My Walking Stick from Alexander's Ragtime Band. This is the National Broadcasting Company.